We began to discuss the distinction between kesem al chaluka or begada and kesem al besar. And what we established was that the Brice, as we'll soon see inside on Daftin Zainamid Beis, in the case of Suffolk, says that if it was al chaluka is sveko tahar, means we apply the principle of tliya, and we assume that the dam came from me'alma somewhere. Whereas if she finds it al-Bisara, that's already this strong circumstantial evidence to lead us to the conclusion that it came mi makom torfa, meaning from the makor, and it's dam nita, and therefore sveka tome. The question was, this chumra in kesem al-Bisara, is it just in terms of the halach of tziruf, meaning that if she finds small stains on her body that are, each one is less than a kagris, then we're going to be machmir in the case of besara to be mitzarif them together and form a shear of kagris, and that's one way of understanding the chumra of al besara. The other way of learning it, which is the Rambam shita, is that no, there is no shear of kagris with regard to al-Bisara, and any minimum stain that she finds al-Bisara, even if it's ke-tipas dam ke-chardel, she's tmeh.
Now, that would imply, though, the first side of that question is that are we saying we're machmer by tziruf, which means that by al-chaluka, that we're saying all the same distinctions, we're not machmir, but
correct.
But if it was kigris, we would be machmir, we would be mitameher by chalukah, because there's no tziruf necessary, it's already big enough size.
Correct. In the case of al chalukah, kuliyam lo pliyu eim mitzarfin, that's a brice at the end of this perek, at the end of perek shmini. And therefore, the only discussion about kesem with regard to chaluka is if it has a minimum shear of kigris viyot.
So, okay, so that is halacha.
The chumra of al-Bisara is that even though we require, in other words, even though Bisara is hilchus ksamim, it is a kesem, which means it's got to be kigris viyot, but it doesn't have to be kigris viyot in one place. It could be a tziruf of many tipin, of tipin tipin.
Or it's like the Rambam that doesn't need kigris viyot.
The Rambam shita is that no. That al-Bisara is not even midin eksamim. It's mamish assumed to be dam min ha-mokar. If it's dam min ha-mokar, the basic requirement of a kesem, namely kigris, doesn't apply in Yechai, and she's tmeya even b'mash. What we discussed in the last year was two schools of thought as to how to understand the shitas ha-mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch. One shita, which is the shach, is that the mechaber is lakua against the Rambam, and the Mechaber paskins that just like al chaluka you need a minimum shear of kigris, so to al besar you need a minimum shear, just that we're machmir in siruv. And then we have the shita of the Torah Sashlamim, which is Rabbi Yaakov Raisha. He's of the opinion that the Shulchan Aruch shita should be identified with the Rambam shita, and any tipas dam, no matter how small it might be, al besara is tameh. Okay, that's what we discussed last time. Let's now look at the Gemara inside. We're on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, and the lines get wider. We're going to drop down about five lines, and it says there in the Braisa, Al Bisara, Sofek Tome, Sofek Tar, Tome. Al Chaluka, Sofek Tome, Sofek Tar, Tar. So that's the Braisa that we've been dealing with. Now, about five lines below that, the first word of the line is chaluka. We're going to take a look at hechidami. And here the Gemara offers two interpretations as to how to understand this brisa. And the first explanation is called michagar ulamata. And michagar ulamata means, in the first explanation, that she finds the dam kineged beis hatorfa, and it's in a place where we believe that the dam probably would have come from an amokar, and therefore the Gemara says if that's what the Brice is discussing, al chaluka amay tar. What difference does it make even in the case where she finds it on the chalok, we should still be metame. The Gemara is going to prove that from a Mishnah. And the reason why is because michagar ulamata means keneged beis haturfa. And keneged beis haturfa, that's already circumstantial evidence that it came min amoka. So who cares if she finds it only on her beged? So we'll soon see the Gemara is going to say that the only way we could justify the psak of this price that she's tahora in this case is because she was overes b'shuk shal tabochim. But that's again, that ukimta is going to introduce a very, shall we say, radical kind of circumstance in order to justify why she's tahora. But right now the Gemara doesn't know about overes b'shuk shal tabochim. All the Gemara knows is that she found a kesem al chaluka keneged beis haturf, which is called michagor lamata. And the Gemara says, Vasnan, don't we have a Mishnah, which is our Mishnah here that the Gemara is studying, Mechagor Lamalo, Al Besora Mai Tome, Vatnan, Rosa Dam Al Besor Shalok, Keneged Beis HaTorfa, Tahora, but if it was Keneged Beis HaTorfa, it should be Tmeya. Oh. So now the Gemara comes up with two answers. Ebois Ema, one interpretation of this price is that we're talking Mechagor Lamato, we're going to have to answer the question why in the case of Chaluka, she's Tahora. Ibai saying we're going to have a second explanation, and it's Michagor Ulamala, and therefore the circumstances indicate that it didn't come Ibeis HaTurf. We're going to have to understand why in the case of Besara she's Tmeya. So the Gemara now goes through the two possibilities. Ibai saying Michagor Ulamata, and your question is why should we be Tola here, the Lchor, the Halach of Tliya, that it didn't come Igufa is absolutely inappropriate. And the Gemara answers Kigon Sha'ovra Beshuk Shel Tabochim. So there's a lot of dam that's flying in the air here in the Shuk Shel Tabochim from animals that were shechted, and therefore even dam that she finds in a place which seems to indicate that it came mi bei satur, for even that we can be tole that this dam came from the outside and it was generated by the dam habehemos hanishchotos. So the Gemara says the following: Al Bisara, if on the one hand she finds the dam al Bisara and she's Tmeya, why is that? Is there some sort of chazaka here that tells me that this dam is not from the shuk, but rather migufa? So the Gemara says, yes. What is that chazaka? Migufa asoi. I have every reason to assume it came migufa because she found it al Bisara. Michagar ulamata, which means keneged beis haturfa. Oh, so wait a minute. Okay, but she was overes b'shuk shel tabochim. Why can't you apply tliya even in the case of dam al besara?
She's looking at a from woman that wouldn't expose her.
Oh, wait a minute. We're not up to that yet. Hold on to that. The Gemara says the following: I have a reisa on the reisa, meaning I have a reason to believe that it did not come from the Shuk Shel Tabochim. Te'ime alma asoi, if this dam came from the outside, is al chaluka miboile ishtekuche. She should have found the dam on the chaluk. Meaning, even it's possible that the dam went, you know, penetrated through the chaluk all the way to her basar. But how could it be possible that she finds absolutely no dam on chaluka and only dam al besara? In other words, at this point, and again, we're going to get to the Rashba in a minute, it could be that if she found dam both on chaluka and al besara, in that case, this reisa against me'alma asui, against the shuk shel tabochim, would not apply. But in this case, there's a reisa that tells me it did not come from me'alma, from the Shuk Shel Tabochim, because otherwise she should have found it on Chaluka, and she didn't find anything on Chaluka. Oh, but in the second case of the Braisa, where she found Dam al Chaluka, then she's Tahora. Why? Because Me'alma also, we have every reason to assume, to attribute this Dam, that it came from the Shuk Shel Tabochim. And not only that, I have a strong argument that leads me to that conclusion. To Imi Gufas, if it came from her beis hatur, from her mokor, then al besor mi boi lesh takuchi, then it was going from the inside to the outside. How could it be possible that she didn't find that she didn't find dam on her bus. So let's take a few minutes to analyze the first interpretation of this braisa before we go on to the Ibois Ema. Okay. Now please note that in our text of the Gemara, it says, Al Bisara Migufa Asoy. Correct? Is that how you have it in your Girsa?
Yeah.
Good. If you take a look at Tosus, Dibra Masta Al Bisara, he has an extra word. He has Vadai Migufa Asoy. So that might be relevant, so let's just make a note of it as we pass by. Okay. What I would like to raise today is not one chakir, but two chakirs. They may be interrelated, but I think we could possibly separate between the two. We're saying now, based on this braisa, that in the case of Safek, there's a fundamental distinction between a kesem al besor and a kesem al chaluka. In the first case, we're going to be machmir and be metamir. In the second case, we'll be mekil and be metire. How do we understand that distinction? The first way of saying it is to say that basically the laws that govern kesem, whether it's al begada or al besor, are identical. And those laws are, is there a logical tliya or is it not a logical tliya? If she finds it al besora, then since she was overs b'shuk shal tabachim, there's a logical tliya on the shuk shal tabachim, that it came mi'alma, not mi'gufa. If on the other hand she finds it al besora, then it's not logical to assume that it came mi'alma, meaning from the shuk shal tabachim, but rather we assume it came mi'gufa. That's one way of understanding it. And this whole braisa, the way the Gemara is interpreting the braisa with Shuk Shal Tabachim, is basically giving us an analysis of Besara, or let's call it a contrast between Besara and Gufa, I'm sorry, between Besara and Bigda, or Chaluka, from a Metzias perspective. Meaning that the Metzius is such that there's a logical, compelling reason to be Tole if she finds it Al-Chaluka, and there's a logical, compelling reason to assume it came Migufa if she finds it Al-Besara. So in that case, I think what we can say is that the difference between Chaluka and Besara is one of statistics. Meaning there's a greater statistical probability of Tliya in the case of Chaluka than there is in the case of Besara. That's one way of saying it. So again, what I'm pointing out here, because I'm about to contrast it with another way of defining it, is that there's no halachic absolute here. We're not dealing with absolutes, you know, like there's a special halach of Kesem al-Besara, another halach of Kesem al-Bigda. Forget about that in our first formulation. The distinction is simply what I call mitzius, meaning what are the statistical probabilities of tliya, what are the statistical probabilities that indicate, based on the circumstance, that it came migufa. And that's, you know, in the case of chaluka, we understand very well why it didn't go al-Besara, because it came from the outside. In the case of al-Besara, we have no clue why she didn't see it al-Chaluka. If it came from the outside, it must have come from the inside.
No, didn't we learn once upon that at least someone has a sheet of the Tliya, that it, as long as there's any possibility to tell we can follow. So it doesn't matter statistics anymore.
Okay, good. So now you're leading to possibly the second side. But again, in the first side, what we're saying is that everything is the same here. Whether it's Chaluka or Besara, we have to be Metameha until we have some compelling statistical probability to assume Tliya. Tliya is not a given. That's the first side. The second side is to say no, that really we always assume Tliya. But the reason why in the case of Al-Besara, the braisa says she's Tmeya, is because we knock out Tliya. We have a compelling, call it a reusa, to undermine Tliya. So in the first side, Adarab, the burden of proof is on us to establish Tliya. And we're going to be able to do that in the case of Chalukah, because she was Overes B'shuk Shel Tabachim, and that generates sufficient or weight of evidence to establish Tliya. But we need that weight of evidence in order to establish Tliya. If you don't have that weight of evidence, then Eino Chinami should be Tmeya. In the case of Al-Chalukah, we have that weight of evidence. In the case of Al-Besor, we don't have that weight of evidence. In the absence of the weight of evidence for Tliya, we're not going to be Tola. Who's pushing you? You know, what's your agenda for Tliya? I don't have such an agenda. Oh, that's one. The other way is to say Pumfaket. The opposite is true. That we're always going to push for Tliya. That's the way Chazal established this Takon of Tuma Durabonon of Ksomim. Because after all, as we said a million and one times, she needs hargosh. She didn't have hargosh. We're talking about a Tuma Durabonon. And in a Tuma Durabonon, there's a built-in Tliya. Why then does the price assume that if she finds Dam Al Bisora, she's Tmeya? What happened to Tliya here? And the answer is because it's Michagor Lamata. And if it's Michagor Lamata, then I have to ask myself the following question. I know very well why she found Dam Al Bisora and not Al Chalukah if I assume the Dam came in Amokar. On the other hand, if I assume Tliya, which again, as a general rule, I will assume Tliya, I have no logical explanation for the phenomenon
that she has nothing on her Chalukah.
That she has nothing on her Chalukah and only on Besor. And then Afkamina between these two definitions is going to come down the line, namely, what about in a Suffolk situation? A pure 50-50 Suffolk. If we go with the first opinion that we have a compelling reason to apply Tliya here because she went through Shuk Shel Tabachim, then in the absence of that strong, compelling reason, we will not apply Tliya. If, on the other hand, I go with the second definition, that Tliya is always a given, then in a Suffolk situation, I'll assume Tliya. And it doesn't matter whether it's Al-Chalukah or Al-Besorah. The problem with Al-Besorah is that if I assume Tliya and it came from the outside through the Shuk, then why didn't she find it Al-Chalukah? Okay, that's Chakira number one. Okay, now we get to Chakira number two. Is there a Chumra in Kesem al-Bisara by definition, a halachic Chumra? So again, just to contrast, in the first Chakira we're assuming that there's no difference between a Kesem al-Bisara, Kesem al-Chalukah. It all comes down to statistics, to probability theory, to Metzius. The only difference is, I don't know which direction to go. Do I start with the assumption that, you know, guilty until proven innocent, meaning you have to have a strong, compelling reason for Tliya, which I have in the case of Chalukah and I don't have in the case of Besorah? Or do I assume, no, that even if I don't have any compelling reason for Tliya, I'm going to apply Tliya, as long as there's no compelling race against Tliya. So that's going to be the Manafkamina in Suffolk. But we're not establishing any fundamental categorical distinction between Al-Basara and Al-Chalukah. So what then is the Braisa telling me? So the Braisa is telling me, as we said, the statistical probabilities and so forth and so on. The second approach is to say, no, there is a halachic distinction between Kesem al-Besora and Kesem al-Bigda. These are two different categories. And we're going to be more machmir by definition in a Kesem b'Besora than a Kesem al-Bigda. And that's again very reminiscent to the Shita Sarama, possibly to the Shita Samachavir, that there is no shir in Kesem al-Besora. Okay.
I mean, this is with Chacham Mokobeya when they came up with the whole concept of Ksamim.
Correct. They came up with the concept of Ksamim, and they built in certain coolas with regard to classical Ksamim, which means Al-Chalukah, but with regard to this specific case of Al-Basara, and we're going to see different sugyas in the Gemara about where she found that Al-Basara and so on, that's already a new category. And the second side is to say no, that basically Al-Besorah and Al-Bigda are Shavim, they're actually the same, and the only difference is the Metzius, you know, the Reisa. You know, why is it that in the case of Al-Besorah, you know, it didn't the Dam didn't appear on her chaluk, and so forth, the whole discussion that we had. So again, there's a very definite similarity between the two chakiras. But what I'm establishing in the second chakira, which I didn't have in the first chakira, is that there might be a halachic distinction between al besara and al chaluka. Whereas in the first chakira, what we're saying is there's no fundamental difference, but yet I don't know whether or not I need a positive weight of evidence in order to establish tliya. And in the absence of that positive, compelling evidence, I will assume it's Tomei, and that's Bein B'Chaluka, Bein B'Besara. Or no, I don't need that positive, compelling evidence. Even in the absence of such evidence, as long as there's a Suffolk and there's no Reisa, then I can assume Tlil. Okay, so now let's try to see if we can give some flesh and blood to these Chakiros, and that's what we wanted. Okay, fine. So again, the Gemara establishes in this first Ibayis Emo, we haven't gotten to the second Ibayis Emo, that she found the Dam Michagar Ulamat. Okay. But she was Overes Bishuk Shel Tabach. Now, what would be, and now we're going back to our first Chakira, if she found Dam Bibisara and Bechaluka in both places? Now, there doesn't seem to be a Raya one way or the other. It seems to be a pure Suffolk. Why? Because again, if she found Dam only Al-Bisara and not Al-Chaluka, so we wonder why she didn't find Dam Al-Chaluka if it came from the Shuk. If on the other hand she found Dam al-Chaluka and she didn't find Dam al-Besara, that's not a problem. Correct? Because the Dam didn't penetrate below the Chaluk. But what would be in a case where it's neutral? We don't have evidence this way or that way. Perhaps the Dam came from the Shuk Shel Tabachim and it penetrated even below the Chaluk, and therefore she found it both on al-Chaluk and al-Besara. On the other hand, maybe the Dam came with Bsara and it penetrated outward. So in that case, you know, there's no Reisa in either direction. So this article in Moreshes Moshe is going to dedicate itself, it's going to be dedicated to this issue. And believe that we'll look inside, but what I want to say by way of introduction is that in the Chidushei Haran on Nida, which right now I don't have access to, but Beli Neder will get access to it, I hope, he presents a machlokas on this very point.
Chidush Aran on this stuff?
Chidush Aran, right here, off an art, in Nida Nun Zayin Amid Beis. And he says the following. According to one Deya, it would be Tomei, and according to another day, it would be Torah. And he concludes by saying, Hakol lefi ra'os eini amora, that there is no final decision on this issue in the Ran's mindset. And the Mora Hora should try to determine what's more mistaber, what's more logical. He gives an example to Ran. Let's say she finds more Dam al-Besara than al-Gufa, sorry, than al-Chaluka, then there's more reason to tip the scale that it came mi-Besara, and some of it, you know, penetrated into al-Begodim. If on the other hand she found most of the Dam on the Begodim, and some of it al-Gufa, but a smaller volume, then she could be told that it came mi-Alma. That's, again, you know, to analyze that logic is not for us right now. That has to be studied on and taken under advisement. But the point is that in the Ran, this is a machlokes. And again, conceptually, I think what the argument is about is our first chakir. Those Rishonim quoted by the Ran that are Mekil, when she finds it in both places, they're assuming that there's a given called Tlia, meaning if there's something out there that we can be Tola on, unless we have a radius against it, then we're Tola. And here we don't have a reisa, because even though she found dam al besora, that's not a reisa. She also found dam al chaluka. The other day, on the other hand, quoted by the Ran, who's going to be machmir in the case where she found dam in both places, he would be assuming that there's no given of tliya. You need strong evidence in favor of tliya. So if she only found it al chaluka and not al besora, that's enough of a proof to be machriya that it came mi alma, because if it came mi gufa, how is it possible that her gufa is naki mi da? Now, back on Daf Yudalit Amid Beis, there's a whole sugya about dam al chaluka, and again, you know, in Yirtz Hashem Makol B'Shaito, but the Tosfos HaRosh there on Daf Yudalit Amid Aleph is of the opinion, he writes, Mashma dal besara vial chaluka, deleka hochacha, havi sveka. If she finds down both al chaluka and al besara, there's no hochacha one way or the other, havi sveka. Which I think, again, we'll get back to this in a minute, that might lead us to the second chakira. Because if it's sveka, then I think he's throwing the ball back into the court of this brisa that says if she found al besara, it's tameh. If she found she's tameh. If she finds on chaluka, she's tahora. And that means that safek tameh and safek tar. In a case where she finds on both chaluka and besara, in the case of overs bishuk shel tamachim, we have a safek. So it could very well be that the Tosa Rosh doesn't give us the final answer. You know, he doesn't theorize with the final conclusion, but it might be that by saying havi sveka, what he means is that it depends upon whether she found al besara al gufa. I'm sorry, I keep making the same mistake over and over again. I'm a bit jet lagged, if you haven't noticed it. Whether it's al besara or al chaluka, I meant to say. Right? So if I ever say al besara al gufa, you know I mean al besara al chaluka. Okay? So again, what we're saying is that there are two shitas in Rishonim here as to what we do in a case of Safek. One shita in Rishonim would say that automatically in a case of Safek we have no pressing proof compelling us towards Tliya, she's Tmeya, even if she found it al Chaluka. The only reason she's Tahor if she found it on Chaluka is because she did not find it al Basar. That's one school of thought, quoted by the Ran. The other school of thought is to say no, that we don't need compelling proof in order to establish Tliya, and in the case of Safek, we can establish Tliya Bein Begufa Ubein Besar. The second opinion is that of the Tosa Rush, the way we're understanding it, is that in the case of Safek, what we're going to do is we're going to make a fundamental distinction between Al Besar and Al Gufa, which means that there are two categories in Halacha. When the Chacham established the dinim of Ksamim, they established that there's one set of rules that govern Safek in this category and a different set of rules that govern Safek in this category. And the two categories are Al-Basara and Al-Chaluka. In the case of Al-Basara, it's Safek Tameh. In the case of Al-Chaluka, it's going to be Safek Tameh. That's going to be the Tosafot.
And when you have a Safek for both, then you're Machriya which way?
What I'm saying is that since she found it al besara, that's enough ready to. In other words, we can't be machriya the suffik with regard to al besara.
Right.
We would like to be matarha because of the suffik al chaluka, but we can't do that unless except in the absence of a kesem al besara. Once we have a kesem al besara, we have to be machriya suffik tameh. And we don't have a right now to be machriya safek tar because she also found it al chaluk. Okay, let's go on because I'm hoping that as we see more and more, we'll.
Okay, I have a chiddush yiran and Tosfos HaRosh if you want them.
If you don't mind printing them out, that would be great so that we can.
Okay, what daf was it? Tosfos HaRosh was
Tosfos HaRosh is on Yudalit Amud Aleph Divrei Maskil Le'eis Ziknusa. Ziknusa. That was about the sugya of Rebbe. You remember there was Rebbe Blais Zignuso, Rebbe Bialduso. Do you recall that sugya we once talked about?
Yeah.
So if you find a Tosa Rosh on your Dalai Lama, Dibra Maskul Yei Zignuso.
Tosa Tar Miklum.
And hopefully you'll find the magical words on Mashma Di Al Basar Vial Chaluka De Leko Chacha Havi Sveika. Hopefully you'll find those words.
Yeah, I got it right.
Oh.
It's in the first paragraph.
So I don't know if you can print it out with an underline on it. If not, we'll just underline it by pen. And the Ran, I don't know where to find the Ran. Hopefully it'll be right here on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis. Okay. Now, the Moreshes Moshe quotes a Rashba. Okay, now we're going to focus on the Rashba's opinion. The Rashba's opinion is that if she finds down both Al Besara and Al Chaluka, she's tahor, you can be making. But it's interesting how the Rashba derives this conclusion. He's medayik it in the Gemara. Because the language of the Gemara is, quote, Nimtza al Bisara mitamim, right, Tmeya. She finds dam al Tmeya. And the Gemara says, why? Where's the, I'll just quote the language of the Gemara, De'i me'alma asoi, right? Al chaluka mi'boila mi'boile l'shtakuche. One second, let me just let this sink into my brain here. If it came me'alma, if it came me'alma, then what? Then al chaluka mi'boila l'shtakuche. It sounds like that's what the Rashba is being medayik here, that she didn't find anything al besara. Would you admit to that? I think the diyuk is a very strong diyuk. I mean, if you fight me on this, I'll be happy, but I think it's a very strong diyuk. You see the language? The ime alma soy al chaluka mi boy lo lashtakuche. He reads it the al chaluka nami mi boy lo lashtakuche. That she should have also found it on her chaluk. The Gemara left out that word nami. So again, according to the diuk of the Rashba, what the Gemara is bothered by is that, okay, she found it al bisara, but why didn't she find anything al chaluka? In other words, if it came from the shuk shel tabach, it's a pella that she can find it al gufa, not al chaluka. How is it that her chaluk doesn't need to be sent to the Chinese laundry because it's absolutely crystal clean? And the answer is, says the Gemara, it must be that the dam came mi gufa. The Gemara is working overtime to disprove the possibility that it came min ha'al.
But this is that race that we found out before.
Correct. So he's saying that what was Gemara's kasha here? Why didn't she find anything al chaluka? Apparently, the answer to that question would be that if she found something al chaluka,
then we'd be told on
it. Correct. So, in other words, the Rashba means we don't need a raya in a positive sense for Kuvva's sake to be absolutely convinced of Tliya.
Right.
We just have to undermine the race against Tliya. What was the race against Tliya? The fact that the absence of any stain on her chaluk, says the Rashba. Had there been a stain on chaluka, which again we don't know what that means, did it come in besar, but it penetrated upwards, if you know what I mean, outwards to the chaluk, or did it come taka from the shuk? We really don't know. Says the Rashba in Tosfos Sofek, we could be mekil and be mitayer. Why? Because the brisa, the way the Gemara is interpreting, is looking for a clear cut case where we have a race against tliya, an absolute race against tliya. But in a suffix situation where we don't have one side in either direction, so you don't have this ready, so well, why didn't she find it al chaluka if it came in ashuk? In such a case, we could be mitayer ho. And I think we're going to pass it like this Rashba, that in a case where she finds it both al chaluka and al besara, we're going to be making. So again, what I wanted to point out is that this Rashba would clearly tip the scale with regard to our first chakira. Again, leave out our second chakira. Our first chakira is, do we need compelling evidence for tliya in order to establish tliya? In the absence of that evidence, we're going to be metamihar, or no? We don't need to have compelling evidence in favor of tliya. What the Gemara means to say is that al besara, we don't have the option of tliya because we have definite evidence that it didn't come from the shuk. But if we don't have any evidence, either way, did it come in besara, did it come in ashuk, we don't know, then what do we do in that case? That was our original chakira. And we're going to be metayer ha, because we don't need compelling evidence for tliya. We just need the absence of any negative evidence to undermine tliya. And that's going to be the case of the suffik where she finds down both al chaluka and al besara. And the Rashba says we can be metayer ha. Why? Because the Rashba says, if you read the Gemara carefully, the Gemara says al besara. Why is it tamei? It's tamei because how can it be that it came min ashuk and she didn't find anything al chaluka? If you have any sort of answer to deflect that kasha, even if it leaves you in a suffix, because you don't know if it came from the sara and then it went outside, if it came from the outside al chaluka and went inside, in that case apparently we could be metayra, because the way Chazal initially established ksamim is with the push to be told, as long as there's no proof to be told. Now, what about the second chakira that we had? Is there perhaps some sort of halachic categorization and a distinction between al-Bisar and al-Chaluk? So for that, what I want to learn with you is Tosis Dibri Amaschil al-Bisar, which is the next to the last Tosis on the Da. Right, the one that adds the word Vada. So Tosis says the following. V'im Tomar Maishna, why is that here the Gemara has this svara that if it came mi'alma, she should have found it on her chalok, should have found the stain on her beged. The ulekaman, however, later on, bishmaitin in our sugya, there's another brisa, and the brisa is lovsha shlosha chalokos. So she's wearing three layers of clothing, one on top of the other. The other b'shuk shel tabachim, and then she finds a kesem on her chalok, is tola. She can assume that the dam came from the shuk shel tabachim. Vafilu b'tachton.
Meaning only the tachton.
Correct, only the tachton. She only found it on the third layer. You mean the layer? Excuse me, that's closest to her body. So why not ask the same Reusa? The law, I mean, we don't say that for sure it came in Aguf, because Idi Isa Me'alma Asa Yavale Shtakuche, she should have found it. Right? I'm sorry, skip the word. Di Isa Me'alma Asa Aelion Havile Shtakuche. Just like we said that if it came from the Shuk, she should have found it on a Chalok. We could say if it came from the Shuk, she should have certainly found it on the outer garment. And yet, the Brisa says, in the case of Ora B'shuk Shal Tabachim and Lav Shoshlosha Chalukim Afilu B'tachton Tar, a brilliant question of Tosis. V'yesh Lomar T'dafka Hasam. Okay, now, before I read the Tosis, what I'm going to just suggest is the following. Tosis is not going to come up with some sort of categorical halachic answer to this question. I say this as an introduction to the Rashba. Okay, the Rashba is going to be much more of an abstract thinker over here. Tosis is going to try to come up with a metzius that answers up the race.
As in unlikely there might be.
As like it. He's going to try to push in that maybe she found it on the inner layer and not on the outer layers for some strange reason. Says Tosis, why is that so? Tosis says, "De hasam lifa'amim she megala chaluka elyon." She'll go as far as to remove her outer layers of garments. Maybe she has a sweater, I don't know, she has a cape, I don't know what she's wearing. Okay.
It could be that the outer garments are more valuable. She's afraid of getting blood in them and ruins.
So right. Or maybe the weather, whatever the conditions are. The Asi, al-Atakton,
and the plug gets under.
And therefore, when, at that moment when she lifted her outer garments, the dam hit the tachton. So if that be the case, if that's enough to neutralize Yiresa as to why she didn't find it on the outer layers, why don't we go a step further and say even she found it in any of the three layers, she found out Besara. He says, Abel, ain't there a galus Besara, but she would not... Right, she would not expose that. So Bekitzer, it seems that according to Tosfos, once again, and I say this in contrast as an introduction to the Rajba, there's no fundamental categorical distinction here between al-Besara and al-Chaluka. But the question is raised. I mean, how is it possible that she had dam al-Besara and not on Chaluka? Would she take off all her clothes? She didn't do that. On Chaluka, even if she found it on the inner layer and not on the outer layer, we have a teretz to that kasha. Harry Musso, you know, she lifted it up. Oh. But the Rashba has something different. So I'm going to read to you here. I have a quote of the Rashba in the Masifta, and he says the following: Nirali, the hacha hainu taima mishum der aglaimut of the kevish shenimtzal gufa umi gufa kachazia chazaka demi gufa asya. And then he adds the following. He says the kol hecha dishtakach the gufa chamir tfei. So again, I don't know if I'm making a big deal out of Matt and Adam Moil, I don't know, but he's talking about the chumra of finding down al besar. It's very reminiscent of what we discussed about the shear of kigris and so forth and so on. That there's a separate chumra when she finds down al besar. It's not your classical kesem. Behind the kesem al besar chomer tfei mi kesem al chaluka, the lo talinin bay kol minei tfluyos the talinin bekesem animsa al chaluka. So basically, he's coming up with a halachic distinction. He's saying that the laws of tliya don't apply in the case of dam al besara, whereas they do apply in the case of dam al chaluka. It sounds like what he's saying is that there's some sort of halachic principle that operates here. It's not, well, if she found it al besara, it's a weak tliya, the way Tosa says it, because she would never expose, her chaluk, and so the dam would come directly al besara. We're not going through all those mitzvahs. He seems to be saying, chad v'chalak, he's cutting it with a knife, and he's saying that these dinim of tliya that apply to chaluka don't apply to besara. Falkein machmirin v'besara. And that's why I thought that within the context of our second chakira, if you remember, the first chakira, as to whether or not we're dealing with a need for a positive tliya or the absence of a negative reis on the tliya, that's the issue of the Ran, quoting two deos in the case where she found a kesem both al-Besara and al-Bigda. And possibly the Tosa Rosh establishing it as a Safek. But the second Chakira, could there be a fundamental halachic distinction between Dam al Chaluka, Dam al Besara? That might just be a Machlok Shintas Tosa and the Rashba. In the context of reconciling the Stira between our Sugya here under the Zayin and Beis and the Bryce of Shlosha Chaluka. Meaning that Tosis is going to take this Shlosha Chalukim and he's going to bring it to its logical conclusion, and he's going to say that if you have a justification for the fact that she only found Dam on the third Chaluk, meaning the inner Chaluk, then we're going to apply that same justification to Dam al-Besara. And Tosis says, no, we can't say it because she never would have lifted up her Besara. So Tosis is analyzing Dam al-Besara with the same eyeglasses, the same perspective as Dam al-Chaluka, just that it has to do with tzlius and things like that. So it's all statistical, and it's all a question of tliya and reis on the tliya, and there's no difference here between Dam al-Besara and Dam al-Chaluka. That's according to Tosfos. But the Rashba seems to be applying a much more fundamental distinction, And he's saying that let's not make distinctions here between whether she found the dam, she exposed herself and she lifted up the garments and all that. It's possible that, that even if she found dam al besara, maybe she stepped into a puddle of dam from the shechita, this, that, the other thing, and it jumped onto the basar, it fell onto legs. I don't know. Anything is possible. But rather, the Rashi wants to say that we have to be more machmir because she found the dam al besara, in contrast to the case where she found dam al chaluka. Dam begufa, he says, is considered dam min amokar. Whereas dam al, I'm sorry, did I say begufa? I meant to say al besara. Dam begufa is considered raglayim l'dama, that it came from min amokar. Dam al chaluka, that's already, something that we could expose, we could open up to the possibility of tliya and so forth and so on. Now, it's interesting, although he doesn't quote this, the Rashba, in order to prove this, he quotes the halach of ein mitztarfin. What does that mean? That if you find small tipin of dam, then in the case of chaluka, we say ein mitztarfin. And since each tipa is less than a shear of kegris, she's tahora. In the same exact mitzius of tipin of poklos mi kegris al besara, we apply the principle of mitztarfin.
Right.
And the Rashba right now is assuming that that is not a logical distinction based on statistics.
It's
a halachic distinction. Right. That we're more machmer al besara.
And how will Tosus deal with that?
Tosus is going to have to assume that in the case of chaluka, chaluk moves and shifts around its position, and therefore the dam might come a little bit here and a little bit here, and therefore, just one second, the case of chaluka is a mitztarf, in the case of besara, mitztarf. I guess it's the other way around, that in the case of chaluka, if it's all coming, is each kesem is a separate entity, and therefore there's no shear. And why is that? Because the dam, wherever it came from, it lands on habeget. And every time it lands on habeget, it becomes a kesem unto itself. Whereas in the case of besara, since she moves around, and the dam might come out in different episodes, therefore we could be mitzvah.
So again, it's not a
halachic issue. Right. So it's more of a statistic. Okay. Now let's see if we can find some of this inside. Are you able to print out any of the...
Yeah, so which one do you want to print?
No, I thought if you could, only if it's convenient for you, if you could print out the Chidushei Haran, again, if you have it, and the Tos Harosh. The Rashba would be great as well, but the Rashba, I might be able to find them. Let me just read to you a few lines in the Ran. The Dibur HaMaskil here.
Oh, you don't need me to print the Ran, then, because you have the Ran.
Yeah, I found all three Svarim. So the first one, he says, Al Besora Tmea. Why? Demi Gufa Asya. Demi Isa Demi Alma Asya Al Chaluka Iboyle Shtakuche. Zokteran v'chol shenimtz al besar v'al chaluka ena tola. But then he writes v'achir mekiu v'yomer v'dahoki kamer di'af al chaluka iboil l'shtakuka. She should have found. You see, he adds the word af to the Gemara that she should have found it also on her chaluk. Is hilka kol shenimtz al besar v'al chaluka tolin. Umistabra, says the Ran, in finishing this up, to kolkai gavna kolufi rov adam sheniskarva etzlo. Niskarva etzlo, I think he means the mora hora, what's closer to his evaluation? O shenisaska bo. Well, let's say, for example, she had some sort of hitaskut, that would indicate that it came the alma. So that was the Ran. So that we have. And then we wanted to look at the Tosus HaRosh on Yudalid Omid Aleph. Okay, hopefully we'll find that very quickly. Okay, here it.
Daf Kuf Yud Aleph.
Kuf Yud Aleph. Okay. And he says the following. Tamai. Okay, fine. So he says, Al Bisarva Chaluka de Leko Chocha Havi Sveika. That's the language of the Tosfos of Rosh. And finally, we have the Rashba here. It should be on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis. He says, "Iboy same mechab gor lemata al besor dimi alma." Fine. Okay, that one is fine. But where does he quote the brisa of shlosha chalukos? That's what I'm looking for.
Rashba is dimi maso amar shmo.
No, just 1 second, amar shmo. Give me a second, how come I'm not finding Omar Shmuel? That's where he quotes the Gimel Chalukos. He says, Kidasanya Lekamon, on the third line, he says, Lov Shashlosha Chalukim Habdukim La Imichol Litlos Tola Vafil Bitachta Velo Aminon. And we don't say, Im Isa Aelyoni Boyle Shtakuche Nirali Tochani Taimi Shundar Aglaim Lidover the Kavish and Imsal Gufa. Is mi gufo kachazia, chazaka mi gufo asa. The halacha assumes that it came mi gufo. To call hecha tishtakach be gufo chomir tfe. Those are, the key lines. And what's his raya? To a tipin tipin it's tarfin. In the case of gufo, we have halacha of tziruf. But al haluka ain't it's tarfin. Can I read a baris l'das rov hamafarshim? Okay, so that we did already last week. Ubitosis tirtzu, the hosamainu time mishum de pa'omim agbas, shnei chalukim elyonim. Avakulon ein reglaya, ein regila, kideshal yir besar. Vengza mechuber vienai, mishum de ha'ikol ememar denosan milamato kenege denitas, excuse me. Nitas milamato kenege besara, filonoga bivikadeha klal. Right, maybe the dam spritzed in a way that it went on to her basar and it didn't reach the chaluka. El a time of the machmir in b'vsar tfei.
Tell me one time which
Vim Tomar. Maybe I'll show it to you inside because you know there may be different printings of the Rashba. This is the paragraph here.
Oh yeah, very different.
Yeah, I don't have the basar of kuk. Maybe I do, but I missed it. Now, there's something else that we want to add here, and that's the Gemara Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph. If you take a look on Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, approximately 10 lines down from the top, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. It's actually a Tosefta in the sixth parak of Nida, that a woman finds dam keneged makom atorif, and the Braisa differentiates where the dam came from. Meaning, we want to assume that she had a maka and the dam came from a maka. So the Braisa says the following: Haisala maka bitzavara, if she has some sort of an injury on her neck, shetuchal litlos, and therefore it's very possible that it came down from her neck and it reached to the makom keneged makom hatoref is tola. Then we could assume that the dam that she found al besora, again even though it's below the makom hatoref, is dam min amak. But if she has a maka where al ksefa, that's on the back, she'ena yechola litlos ba, then it's not logical to assume that the dam from her shoulders would have fallen below the base hatorfas, eno tola. So you see very clearly that in the case of Dam al Besara, we're looking for a very strong possibility of saying Tvia. So for example, in the case where she was Overis Beshuk Shel Tabachim, and she finds Dam al Besara, you know, in that case, it's not a very good Tvia. Because why did she find the Dam al Besara and right, not...
In the Brice you just quoted, what daf was that on again?
On daf nam nunches, 10 lines down from the top of
nunches. Okay. It was saying that if she has a mark on her neck, mm-hmm. we can say that the blood should kind of trickle down to Kenega Besara. But yet we don't ask, why was there no blood stains on any other part of her clothing from the neck all the way down? We don't worry about that. Why
so
not?
Take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskel Bitzavora. Rashi says, "Im nimtza dam kineged tarfa, yechola litlos b'maka shel tzavora, shepa'omim shemata mata with a mapik hey, that she inclines es tzavora lifnim, so she moves her neck a little bit inside, right? Let's say her head and neck move forward." And nofel dam hamaka al tachtis chaluka. Interesting. So Rashi mentions the chaluk over here. Now we weren't talking about chaluk at all. And Rashi seems to assume that she found dam on her chaluk. But if you take a look in the Rashba and others, they don't have this business that she found dam on her chaluk. Now Rashi seems to be wanting to, you know, Rashi's pushing the agenda that the dam was found on her chaluk. Pashtus in the sugya, she found dam on her basar. And yet we're willing to be tola even in the case of dam al basara. So again, what's my point over here? We saw in the Rashba that when she finds dam al basara, keneged mokam aturfa, that's a chazaka that it came migufa. And we're going to be more machmir in such a case. There's a chumrah in dam al besara. I think what the Rashba is talking about is overis b'shuk shel tabachim. That in the case of overis b'shuk shel tabachim, there's a very weak tliya to assume that the dam came from the shuk shel tabachim. But lu yitzuyer, there was a very powerful and convincing tliya that would explain why she found dam al besara, even though it didn't come migufa, it didn't come in a makar. Then even the Rashba would agree that even in the case of dam al besara, we could be mekil. Where do I see such a thing? What gives me, you know, justification? Because this brisa is talking about dam al besara, according to the Rashba, not according to Rashi. And yet we're being tole on the maka, because in the case of the maka, there's a very strong tliya. So you follow? I'm just pointing out that the Rashba doesn't mean to say that there's no din of tliya whatsoever in dam al besara. We're going to be more machmir, require a very strong, you know, high-powered tliya, very convincing tliya. Shuk shel tabachim is not a convincing tliya, because why would it come from the outside into the inside? But in the case of dam al tzavara, where it makes sense that the dam may have fallen down keneged beis haturfin onto her body, there, even in the case of dam al besara, kesem al besara, we could be mekil through tliya.
Clearly, it's important to have an understanding of what kind of clothing they wore back then. For it to fall from her neck down to her leg.
Right. Even Rashi, by the way, agrees that it may have fallen from her neck down to her leg, but Rashi says it fell on her chaluk.
Why did Rashi have to say that?
Yeah, that's something that we'd have to really study. But just in the few minutes that we have remaining, I want to just look at the Ibai same in the Gemara.
Back on
Daf and Zayin Amud Beis. Ibai same in the Gemara says, Mi Chagar
Ulamal.
Correct. Mechagor ulemalo. Okay, just one second. And then the Gemara says that So even though she didn't find the dam keneged makom haturfa, so again, if she didn't find it neged makom haturfa, so the question is, why are we going to be machmir in the case of gufa or al basar, shall we say? Kigon de is dakra. Okay, so let me give you my understanding of Izdakra based on the Masifta. I think what he's saying is that she turns around, like he nishafcha, which means that even though the dam is coming min hamakor, but nevertheless, the reason why she found it elsewhere on her body, not al b'sar keneged beis haturfa, is because she rolls around. You know what I mean? Like let's say a woman in a bed, right? She rolls over and over again. But he has a word here, is dakra zokfa atzma li achoreha.
Yes,
it sounds like her head is going backwards. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's a word for it in gymnastics.
Maybe, but what's it got to do with the lower part of her body?
So therefore it's possible that the dam might have reached on top of her chagor. No, it's normally it goes down. Here it went on top because her body is twisted towards
as
the back.
She's walking through the shukta. No, there's nothing to do with shukta. This is just now her... We're saying came from the makor, but it's now the mala.
Oh, so let's read the next line. Gemara, I think, is going to address your question. So Gemara says the following: Al bisara, she finds dam al bisara is vadai migufa asoy. Certainly came from the makom, and therefore she's tmeya from the makor, and she's tmeya to e me alma asoy. If it came from the outside. Al chaluka iboila ishtekuche. Okay. But al chaluka me alma soy, di imi gufa soy, al besora iboile ishtekuche. Well, it sounds like the Gemara is going through the same identical logic here and analysis as it did before. So if you look here in the footnotes, he quotes a Sidretara with a Rambam, and it seems that it is a whole school of Rishonim. Let's take a look at Rashi to start with. Zokfa atzma chorevi afal gavdi ovra b'shuk shel tambocher. Maybe we didn't have those words in Agamor. Rashi adds it.
Right.
Is tmeya. So basically what we're saying is that we're talking about a case of Ovra B'shuk Shel Tambocher.
So what's it got to do with being Min
HaGor L'mal? So again, let's just first, a lot of Rishonim are going to reject this Rashi and the Rambam, but according to Rashi and the Rambam, why do we need to add this Ukibta of Overes B'shuk Shel Tambochim? The Gemara doesn't say it. If it wasn't Overes B'shuk Shel Tambochim, then even though she found the Dam Al Bigda, she would be Tmeya if she wasn't Overes B'shuk Shel Tambochim. Why is that?
Because you have nothing to be told on.
Exactly, you have nothing to be told on. She didn't go in Shuk Shel Tambochim, and the Dam may have come from her body, and when she bent her body and his dakra, the dam went lamala.
Yeah, so the twisting is only to try to explain that even though we have nothing to be told on, if it was lamala, I might have had a chashash to say I can't be told on the mokar either. But I'm saying so she twisted her body and it came from the mokar and she started. But without the twisting of the body, right, being lamala, I would still be mitamah her. I don't have the excuse for it. Is that what we're saying? Why do you have to say twisted mind?
I think that's what...
It's Nechavrodah Mala. She's taller. No, she's Tame. I can prove there's a reason why it's there, because she twisted body. Okay, if you have a reason, then it's taller. But without a reason, even the Mala, she's Tame. Is that really what's going on? I mean, it doesn't sound like that the Chacham would be goes there, the Mala.
Let's take a look at the Rajba, because I think, again, this is a second occasion in which Rashi is kind of confusing us by adding the Shukshal Tabach. Let me just, if I could just borrow this Rashi. I'll take that later, but let's see. The Rashba. Yeah, let's see if we can find the Rashba.
By Yisema?
Yeah.
Okay, so the bottom is the same page we
wrote. Yeah. Mechagor lamalo kegonshin is dakra klomar. Mechagor ulamalo ubishalo of Rabbi Shuk Shal Tabach.
Same thing as Rashi.
No, the exact opposite of Rashi.
Oh, Rashi is afapisha. Right.
Ukegonshin is dakra klomar sheyada bevadai shen is dakra. Okay, fine. I mean, that's important, but we're not ready for that yet. Hilkoch, al bisora klomar kol shenimtz al bisora tome. Vafilu nimtza nami al chaluka. You see, the Rashi was the one who said before that if she finds down both al bisora and al chaluka, she's tahora.
Because it's only bitola.
Right, even though it's shoveh b'shoveh, but we said that the Rashi was of the opinion that as long as there's no reisa in the tliya, then we automatically are tola. So if it's a 50-50, because we don't know where the dam is coming from, we have two possibilities, we can apply the principle of tliya. Here, we cannot apply the principle of tliya.
Because he says, shalav rabu shuk shatavachav, he took that away from us. He said, there's nothing to be tola.
The cave on the lekel in mitli, we don't have the shuk shatavachim, vadai migufa asa. The ime alma osa chaluka bilachud iboilo l'shtakuche al chaluka levad tahar deme alma osa.
That's it. He says if you came alma a chaluka bilachud, you wouldn't have it on the basar. It would never have gotten through the basar.
Right.
He said before it's possible that it could saturate through.
Right.
He doesn't like that idea.
The ime gufa af al besora iboilo l'shtakuche. Vim tomar v'kevon din is dakra havile lamala min achagor kilamata min achagor v'chol shalamata min achagor ben al besor ben achaluka tmeya vim kein afile nimsal chaluka b'lechud amai sfeiko tor yiklamem kol shen is dakra yi efshol l'dam shei notef el adam shoseis v'yorid. So this, my friends, is too complicated for me. All right, we'll stop here, Bli Neder. So we'll pick this up on
Monday.
How does it work? When is Erev Chag? Tuesday?
Oh, good one. Tuesday's Erev.
So we should be able to be, we're okay for Monday.
We'll start Monday.
Okay, great. All right, just go.